If you watch Manifest, you may be watching the most significant and interesting informational series that I've ever done in 22 years or 23 years. And that's really saying something, because we've done hundreds and hundreds of programs and taped them in Israel and also in our studio as well as in our conferences. What I'm about to tell you today is something that very few people preach because they don't know the verse exists. And I'm going to be sharing with you cutting the silver cord, the secret of death. Cutting the silver cord, the secret of death. Now, Solomon wrote a very interesting passage about death in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. Now, I am a King James person. Those of you that follow me know that I usually quote the King James, but when I read this in the Amplified, which a lot of people read, it added some things to make sense so I don't have to go back and explain for 5 minutes. Here's the verse. In the days when the keeper of the house, the hands and the arms tremble, and the strong men, the feet and the knees bow themselves, and the grinders, the molar teeth cease because they are few, and those who look out the windows, the eyes are darkened, when the doors, the lips are shut in the street, and the sound of the grinding of the teeth is low, and one rises up at the voice of a bird and the crowing of a rooster, and all the daughters of music, the voice in the ear, are brought low. Also, when the old are afraid of danger from that which is high, and fears are in the way, and the almond tree, their white hair, blooms, and the grasshopper, a little thing, is a burden, and the desire and appetite fail, because man goes to his everlasting home, and the mourners go about the streets of the marketplace. Now, in Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7, listen to this one very carefully. Remember your Creator earnestly now before the silver cord of life is snapped apart. The King James says, before the silver cord be broken, and the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher's broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the whole circulatory system of the blood ceases to function, then shall the dust out of which God made man's body return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God that gave it. Now, I know that's kind of an expanded addition, but it explains the metaphors that he is using to describe a person in the slow process of death. But the point I want to bring out is the silver cord be severed, or the silver cord be cut. Then man's spirit goes, if it's a believer in God, goes to its long home. The spirit goes back to God that gave it. Death is the separation of the spirit from the body. It's very important that we clarify this again. And we alluded to this in the last program, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Every human being is a physical body. You're looking at my physical body, but what you can't see is my soul and my spirit, which is inside of me. It lives inside of the physical body. It's the eternal part of me. This is the earthly part. This is the fleshly part. But inside of me is a twin of soul and spirit that lives inside of my body. Now, in Daniel chapter 5, 17, Daniel had a vision, and he talked about, I was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body. See, he tells you where your spirit is. It's in the center, in the midst of your body. And the visions of my head, that's connected to the soulish realm of the five senses, troubled me. So he talks about his body. He talks about his spirit. He talks about his head, again, which technically is connected to the five senses. Now, what does it mean to be separated from the body? There is a term that's found throughout the Bible, and some of the best examples of this are actually found in the Old Testament, of what happens when a person dies. Now, let me just read this. And again, we're going to go back to the King James translation. Other verses will say the word spirit, but the King James uses the word ghost. And the reason people sometimes will use a different translation is because when you think of ghost today in our contemporary culture, you think of the spirit of a dead person, or, you know, some haunted house. And so people who are not Christians can misinterpret what you're saying here about a ghost. So, but I'm going to read from the King James translation. So I want to just clarify the word ghost here. This is Genesis chapter 25 and verse 8. Abraham gave up the ghost, or gave up his spirit, and was gathered to his people. Genesis 25 and 17, Ishmael gave up the ghost and was gathered to his people. Genesis 35 and 29, Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered to his people. Genesis chapter 49, 33, Jacob yielded up the ghost and was gathered to his people. Now, let me explain something to you about these passages, which are very important. When it says that they gave up the ghost, it means that their spirit, they died, and when they died, their spirit was released out of their body. Now, the phrase gathered to his people, some people interpret that to say that that refers to going to a tomb, going into what we would today call a cemetery. So being gathered to the people, meaning they were all buried together in the same place. That cannot be true, because if Abraham and Ishmael were not buried in the same place, Jacob had a place called Jacob's tomb, which is in Shechem, and Abraham and Isaac are buried in Hebron. Okay? So in other words, there's different burial spots for these different people. And again, Abraham, Sarah, different tombs are in Hebron. Someone's tomb is over here in Shechem, which is a different area. Ishmael is buried in a different location. So you can't say when they were gathered to their people that it refers to going to the same cemetery or graveyard. Gathered to his people refers to the spirits of those who had died before them that were in a place that Luke 16 called Abraham's bosom, which was in somewhere in the earth, under the crust of the earth. It was called Abraham's bosom. It was also called paradise. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So what they did, their spirit left their body, absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord, and it was gathered with the spirits of the righteous people, which, according to the Bible, were underneath the earth. That's a whole different study, right? There to get into. Now, five times when Job lost everything he had, he starts asking this question, why did I not give up the ghost after my birth? Why did I not die from the womb? So this is a great revelation that if a child dies in the womb, they have a spirit. All these people that say that the baby gets the spirit when the umbilical cord is cut and that's when life begins. No, that's when the baby breathes on its own. But Job talks about giving up the spirit after birth, but dying in the womb. So if the baby had died and it gave up its spirit, David's baby died in 7 days, gave up the spirit. David said, "I'll go join it one day. I can't bring him back." But then if you die in the womb, you also have the spirit. The spirit comes in the womb. I don't have time to get into all that teaching about when there's a spirit come into an infant, into the fetus and all that. But I want to explain to you that Job understood that when he died, his spirit would leave his body. And I know I have good friends, good people that believe in what's called soul sleep, that the soul and spirit sleeps in one place. And they use those verses in the New Testament where Paul talked about some sleep, many of you sleep, and they use those verses for that. But when you look at the whole of Scripture, it does not teach that. It teaches a separation. Now, Jesus in the New Testament, Matthew 25, verse 7 said, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up his spirit. King James says ghost or spirit, because in the Greek, it's the same meaning of a word. It's a spirit. Ruach is the Old Testament word that's used for ghost, and it can mean wind, breath, and spirit as well, depending on the context. And so here we have Jesus whose spirit is gone, and then we have Jesus whose body, according to John's gospel, is now wrapped in 100 pounds of linens and spices and put in a sealed tomb. Now, Jesus, the moment he gave up his spirit, the Bible says in Matthew 12 and 40 that he descends into the heart of the earth. So the spirit of Jesus did not stay in the tomb. It descended out of his body, came out of his body, was brought maybe by angels, or maybe he did it on his own, but he came into the paradise part of the earth. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:19, a great teaching, he preached to the spirits in prison. Now remember this, that the spirits in prison were the spirits of the righteous people who could not go to heaven till Jesus died, paid the price, became the high priest of the new covenant, and brought them out and took them to heaven at his resurrection. Now remember this, the thief on the cross, Jesus said this, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus died and his spirit left his body at 3 o'clock according to the Gospels. And you remember the sun was darkened and there's the earth is shaking. They came along to break their legs and saw that Jesus was already dead. So they never broke his legs because the Bible said not one bone would be broken. The two thieves barely had life in them and they had to break their legs. And so before 6 o'clock, the legs of the two thieves were broken. So what that caused them to suffocate. They had, and it's a long story about a crucifixion, but that's why they broke their legs to speed up the death. So Jesus was ahead of the thief by 1 to 2 hours. 1 to 2 hours. So when the thief died, his spirit would have left his body and gone to where Jesus was. And I've always preached a sermon years ago. I talked about the sermon that Jesus preached in the heart of the earth. We have no actual record of it. We have some traditions that the early church fathers talked about, that all the prophets gave their prophecy. They were down there together in paradise, Abraham's bosom. But each one gave their prophecies of the Messiah, and Jesus showed how he fulfilled all of those prophecies. And I've always said, why was there a thief on the cross? I said, because the old thief said, I was there when it happened. So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word's established. So Jesus said, I died and shed my blood. And the old thief who was converted said, I was there. I saw it happen. And that's just sermonizing, of course. You know, that's how all preachers do a little bit of sermonizing in their messages. But I tell you what, it would preach. When I preached in the early days, I preached it as a kid. I ought to pull that message out again. And I talk so fast, people would say, slow down. I still do that today, of course, to get everything in. Now, let me say this that's very, very important, and I'm going to not focus on what I'm about to say, but there is consciousness and conversation in the afterlife. But if you look at hell, and I do not believe every near-death experience that comes on the internet, because some of them are not biblical at all. I think some of it's just people trying to get attention, making up a story. That's my opinion. But however, in the Bible, the rich man in Luke 16 and Lazarus and Abraham all had consciousness. They were aware of who they were. They were aware of where they had been. They were aware of their previous life. And they had some type of conversation. Now, the rich man converses with Abraham back to the rich man, etc. So in the afterlife, there's conversation. But let me tell you something about hell. You are not going to sit down there like some of these heathen believe and party and have a good time with your friends that have died. It is not the picture anywhere in the Bible of hell. It's a place of torment. And you will always remember the messages that were preached and how people tried to win you and the prayers that you missed and all those kind of things. But you're conscious in the afterlife. It's very important you understand that. And so there's conversation and consciousness. In heaven, they carry on conversations. There's consciousness there as well, all right? So this is important you understand this, because you've got to know where you're headed. Now, I'm doing this series in part to try to get backslidden Christians back to Jesus, lukewarm Christians on fire, and people that just don't believe anything at all to believe the Word of God. Now, when you were in your mother's womb and you were conceived in your mother's womb, God did something very marvelous. There was an umbilical cord that was connected. It's right, your belly right there is the evidence of it. I have a little grandson. I don't know why he's doing this. He's 2 years of age and he walks around and he sees Pop-Pop. He grabs my shirt and tries to put his finger in my belly button. I guess he stuck it in his and trying to figure out what mine is. I don't know. I'm going to have to teach him what that is one day. Little old fella. Cute as a button, Andrew. But that's where your umbilical cord was, okay? But it connected life to you. It kept you living, connected to the placenta of your mother inside of your mother's womb, all right? Here's what is strange about one verse in the Bible. The one verse in the Bible tells you when you're actually dying or when you're actually dead. So let me say this out loud. You're not dead just because your heart quits beating. Your soul and spirit may still be in your body. Now, you actually, some people become conscious and aware of things when their heart quits beating. You're not really dead just because you quit breathing, because you can survive with air or breath, because there's been people drowned for 10 minutes and came back alive later. So normally there's brain damage, and some people have that and some people have not. It was a miracle of God if they came back without damage. You are gone for good if the silver cord that connects your spirit to your body is ever loosed or cut. And that's what Solomon talked about in Ecclesiastes. When the silver cord be loosed, the spirit, and this is a believer, if you're a believer, shall return to God who gave it. I'm very fascinated by the silver cord, Because silver is the color of redemption. Let me go back. Gold is the color of deity. When you see gold used in the Bible, it represents God or deity. Silver is a color that represents redemption. And brass represents humanity. You can always remember that. So when you talk about a gold cord, that would have one implication. When you talk about a brass colored cord, that would have another implication. When you talk about a silver cord, it's connected to the spirit, which is eternal, which Jesus died to redeem that soul and spirit back to him. Now, loosed, the word loosed is used 13 times in the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. Here, the Hebrew word means to recede, to be removed. Okay, so the silver cord is cut or removed from the body. That's what it refers to. And oddly enough, the same Hebrew word can translate as to distance oneself. Now watch this. So death is the silver cord. You can't see it. Doctors can't see it. It's spiritual and invisible, just like an angel is invisible, just like your spirit. If it comes out of your body, if the hospital and your family's standing around, they can't see it because it's of another dimension. You can't see angels because they're another dimension. You can't see demons. Thank God for that. They're of another dimension. And only if the veil is removed from your eyes are you able to see it. All right. But when that silver cord is loose, it distances you from your body. So your body remains on earth. But once the cord is severed, it's my opinion, unless God supernaturally reattaches it, that you are dead and you cannot come back. Now, in the raising of Lazarus being dead 4 days and stinking, God had to reconnect it back to him, which is a supernatural rare miracle. But once you're separated, that's how you're able to travel in spirit. That's how, for example, people who have been to hell and back with a near-death experience say they came out of their body, they went through a dark tunnel very fast, maybe hundreds of miles under the earth, but got there in a short time. And then came back into their body because somehow God, and I talked to a girl who told me, and she's connected to the ministry here, that she actually went to hell. It was like a drug overdose, but she went to hell, and the silver cord, she looked down and actually saw it, and Jesus came and rescued her, told her time was not up, and he pulled the silver cord toward him. And that's how she came back in her body. And she says, I didn't even know it existed till I heard you preach on it. I didn't even know what it was till I heard you preach on it a couple of weeks ago or months ago. So this is very important to understand that cutting the silver cord is what enables you to travel outside of your physical body. So Jesus' time, he's wrapped in 100 pounds of linens and spices. He's sealed in the tomb. But yet he leaves his body and he goes to Abraham's bosom, which is paradise. So you're not departed this life. Maybe, let's say you're in an accident. Car accidents are a good example of this. And the person is there. If their heart is still beating, even though they have their eyes closed and they can't speak for whatever reason, their soul and spirit might be in their body because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, when the heart is quit, there is no heartbeat. Let's say there's no brain activity, then we know that more than likely the soul and spirit has left the body and the sword has been, the silver cord has been severed. Now, I want to give you two examples of something. If you ever have a loved one that goes into a hospital and they're hooked up to monitors and they're hooked up to the heart machine, the breathing machines, and all the different machines, watch the monitors. When my granddad had surgery and had 3 strokes to the brain, and we knew he wasn't going to live. I flew in from Africa, cut a crusade short, came from Africa to Elkins, West Virginia, to the hospital there, visited him. And here's what's interesting. When we would sing his songs, when I would talk up real close to his ear, the heart monitor would go from 50 to 60, 70, 75. His heart would start really beating. We knew his soul and spirit was still in his body. He was unable to communicate with us because of the stroke, but we knew he heard everything. So we were careful about our conversations. I told people, and he can hear you. Even the doctor said the last thing to go in a person in a hospital is their hearing. So you have to be careful what you say. They can possibly hear everything you're saying before they die. And so we talked to him, and I went to him, and I had to come back to Cleveland. He died right after this, and I whispered in his ear, Granddad, I love you, I'm going to have to leave. And a tear came out of his eye, and I said, oh my goodness, he's hearing everything we say. But we knew it by the monitors, okay? I got a call that my mother was in the hospital, that my mama had passed away, and she had died. And they said, get to the hospital. We just, you know, she's had a heart attack, but we kind of kept her on a machine, kept her heart, I guess they kept her heart beating. So when we really got there, I started talking to mom, but I noticed something. The machine was keeping her alive, but there was no activity that saw a change in the numbers when I talked to her. And you know, it made us feel better to be there. It made us feel better to see her the last time. That was during COVID when they weren't letting anybody in, and they allowed us to go to the emergency room very briefly, just, you know, mask up and everything. And she had COVID. She was actually getting better, and she had a heart problem we didn't know, and the heart attack took her. And I remember saying to Pam, I said, you know what? We're looking at the shell. Mom is already gone. And I said, she probably, when she went the first time, she saw Dad in heaven and saw a glimpse of Jesus. And man, if you ever get a glimpse of Jesus, you don't ever want to come back. If you ever get a glimpse of heaven, you're never going to want to come back. But here's the point I want to make to all of you watching me, and I want to make sure I make it clear. You have to make a decision for eternity, and you don't want to wait too late. There are people who drop dead of heart attacks, are killed instantly in accidents. There are people that have things happen. They're in a crime. They didn't know that they were going to be in a crime that day. And you may never have a second opportunity to really pray and call on the name of the Lord. It doesn't take a lot to repent sincerely and ask for cleansing and forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. But you could be too late. You need to ask the Lord to be your Lord and Savior, forgive you for sins, and you need to start actively following Him now so that not only will you be ready for the rapture or ready for death, but you'll be ready to see Him in eternity and hear Him say, well done, instead of turning your way. That's from my heart. This book is one of the most important books I've ever written. One of these offers is everybody needs to get this. You're going to need this at some point in your life. Watch carefully.
Red Hawk County 911, where is your emergency?
There is a horse trailer and a dually just hit an SUV, drove it all the way across the road.
Okay, yeah, if you could get just find out if there's any injuries or entrapment.
There is entrapment, I can tell you that right now.
It was 10 o'clock Saturday morning when I FaceTimed my precious second cousin and very dear friend, telling her about my daughter Amanda preparing to trade in her old vehicle for a new one. I did not know it would be my last conversation with my cousin on the earth. Hours later, I received a call that she'd been killed in an intersection in Elkins, West Virginia. For months, I experienced very intense sorrow while wrestling with so many unanswered questions. Why did God allow a 63-year-old woman, a caregiver, with so many future plans to die so suddenly and without warning? For 3 months, I pored over scripture almost day and night for answers. Out of my research and personal grief, I wrote this 209-page book called Why Did You Leave Us So Soon? The Mystery of a Premature Death, to answer my questions and also questions you have asked me over the years. Here's a few chapter titles. There's a time to die and a time not to die. The danger of being with the wrong people at the wrong place at the wrong time. Why are some healed and others are not? Why did one person die yet another person survived the same accident? How does a person break a protective hedge? How Christians can commit a sin unto death? Why do infants suddenly pass away? Does God honor a deathbed repentance? Here's a few more. How sinning Christians can be delivered to the will of Satan? The danger of offending your angel? Suicide and questions about eternity? Why are many Christians sick, weak, and many have died young? Why at times when you need an answer does God seem to say nothing? That's only 12 of the 22 chapters in the book. I want to say this, if you've ever lost a loved one to death and you had many unanswered questions, I hope you will order this book. It answers numerous confusing questions about the mystery of why people seem to die before their time. It will also teach you the biblical principles of learning how to discern coming danger and pray against it. That's a very important part of this book as well. When you order this new book, I'm including a very powerful audio CD that my dad said to me before he passed away. Perry, let people hear this. It's one of the most important messages I've ever heard. Don't go to hell over a mystery. You can call 1-888-21-BREAD or order online at perrystone.org or request offer WWS-146 and include $30 by writing Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Again, that's offer WWS-146. You may not need this book now, but you may need it in the future. I hope you'll order it today. Well, let me just share something with you. Thank you for joining me on the program. Don't go to hell over a mystery. I've had people ask me, what is that about? And the bottom of this says you must forgive God. because people have things happen in their life, especially in the area of death, and they become very angry at God and say, why did you let this happen? And I have known of people that literally left the faith because they didn't understand why something happened with a loved one, a child, or a family of the member passing away. And that's one of the reasons we wrote this. We wanted this to be a book of answering many questions. I've had so many parents, and I read it, and Pam and I read these, and we just cry. It's like, oh my, that had a suicide happen in their family. And I actually wrote a chapter on that, or I deal with that, I should say, in the book, a very difficult thing for families to deal with. And then we also have in the book two stories, and one of them is a woman who was in a hospital who was actually going to hell, and she held unforgiveness toward her daughter. And I tell the whole, the nurse actually tells the whole story, and they got reconciled, and the woman then went to be with the Lord. It's a beautiful story. So there's some great things in the book. So please get it today. And also, if you'll see the bottom part of the screen, it's places that we're going to be coming to soon. Go to peristone.org to see where we're going to be, because sometimes we don't have time on the program to advertise where we're going to be. You can go to Peristone Ministries Facebook page, Peristone YouTube channel. Please subscribe to the channel. Hit that button so that we can reach more people. And also, now is the time to register for Warrior Fest and for the International Prophetic Summit. And all that information is going to come on the screen. We'd love for you to plan to be here and be a part. There's no fee to attend these, but you have to register. We've set up a special registration for this. So please do that as soon as you can once you make your arrangements. See you next week.
America's premier international prophetic summit is coming in 2025. Come be a part of this dynamic conference April 23rd through 27th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Jonathan Kahn, Mario Murillo, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, John Kilpatrick, Joseph C., and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Mark your calendars for April 23rd through 27th and register today. Visit perrystone.org for more information.